He opened his eyes again and leaned back in his chair. That chair was the one true luxury Kinnear had permitted himself, the one extravagance. Although, to be fair, it would have been more accurate to say it was the one true extravagance he had allowed himself to accept. 8 years earlier, when Garth Gorja, his longtime personal secretary, had told him the people of the archbishopric wanted to buy him a special midwinter gift and asked him for suggestions, Kinnear had commented that he needed a new chair for his office, because the old one, which was probably at least a year or two older than Father Garth, was finally wearing out. Father Garth had nodded and gone away, and the archbishop hadn't thought very much about it. Not until he arrived for his regular winter pastoral visit, the long one, when he always spent at least 2 months here in Glacierheart, and found the chair waiting for him. His parishioners had ordered it from Siddar City itself. It had cost easily the equivalent of a year's income for a family of six, and it had been worth every mark of its exorbitant price. Kinnear had discovered only later that Fraidman Thomas, his valet, had provided his exact measurements so that the craftsman who had built that chair could fit it exactly to him. It was in many ways an austere design, without the bullion-embroidered upholstery and gem-set carvings others might have demanded. But that suited Kinnear's personality and tastes perfectly. And if no money had been wasted on ostentatious decoration, it was the most sinfully comfortable chair in which Jason Kinnear had ever sat. At the moment, however, its comfort offered precious little comfort. His lips twitched sourly as he realized what he'd just thought, but that didn't make his current situation any more amusing, and the brief flash of humor faded quickly. He'd been deeply touched when Wilson told him about his suspicions, about his growing certainty that the Circle had been compromised, betrayed to Clinton and the Inquisition. The fact that Samuel had trusted him enough to tell him, had known he wasn't the traitor, had filled him with an odd sort of joy, even as the terror of that treachery's consequences flooded through him. And Samuel had been as blunt and forthright as ever. "One reason I'm telling you, Jason," he'd said, "is that unlike any of the rest of us, you have the perfect reason to leave Zion in the middle of winter. Everyone knows about your eccentricities, so no one, not even Clinton, will think it's out of character for you to return to Glacierheart as usual. I'm going to do what I can to get as many as possible of our other archbishops and bishops out of harm's way, but if we've been as thoroughly betrayed as I think we have, all of us are going to be marked for the Inquisition. That includes you." Wilson had looked into his eyes, then reached out and rested one hand on each of Kinnear's shoulders. "You got Eric Dinnis's final letters out of his cell, Jason, and we got them to his wife, his widow, in Caris. This isn't going to be that simple. This time they know about us, but I don't think they're likely to make an open move against us for at least another month or two. So you'll have some time once you get to Glacierheart. Use it, Jason." The hands on his shoulders had shaken him with powerful, gentle emphasis. "Use it. Make your plans however you can, and then disappear." Kinnear had opened his mouth to protest, only to find Wilson shaking him again. "You couldn't accomplish anything here even if you stayed," the vicar had told him. "All you could do would be to die right along with the rest of us. I know you're prepared to do that, Jason, but I think God has more in mind for you yet than martyrdom. Much though I hate to admit it, I've come to the conclusion that the Church of Caris has become our only true hope. Well, not ours so much, since I don't see much Stainer or Caleb could do to save the Circle even if they knew about our predicament. But our only hope for what we set out to accomplish in the first place. The rot's gone too deep here in the Temple. Clinton and Trinair, but especially Clinton, are too corrupt. They're actively committed to maintaining the very evils that are turning Mother Church into an abomination, and if we ever truly had any hope of stopping them, we've lost it now. We've run out of time, so the only hope I see is that the Carizzians will succeed in challenging them, that the example of Carus from without will force reform from within. What that ultimately means for the universality of Mother Church is more than I can say, yet I've come to the conclusion that it's more important she be God's church, be she broken into however many pieces, than that she remain one unbroken entity enslaved to the power of the dark. Kinnear had seen the pain in Wilson's eyes, recognized the bitterness of that admission. And in that recognition, he'd realized Wilson had come to speak for him as well. His very soul quailed from the thought of schism, the nightmare of the religious strife, the enormous scope for doctrinal error that must sweep over the world if Mother Church dissolved into competing sects. And yet even that was preferable to watching God's church slide deeper and deeper into corruption, for that was the worst and darkest doctrinal error of which Jason Kinnear could possibly conceive. Yet even though he'd found himself in unwilling agreement with Wilson's analysis, and even though he'd shared every bit of Wilson's urgency, he'd had no idea how he might contrive to escape the Inquisition in the end. True, he'd probably have at least a slightly better chance from Glacier Heart than he would in the temple itself, but that wasn't saying a great deal.